When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I'd pay for vacations with whatever was in my wallet, but I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Welcome to the I Can't Sleep podcast with Benjamin Boster. If you're tired of sleepless nights, you'll love the I Can't Sleep podcast. I help quiet your mind by reading random articles from across the web to bore you to sleep with my soothing voice. Each episode provides enough interesting content to hold your attention, and then your mind lets you drift off. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. That's I Can't Sleep with Benjamin Boster.
Love this podcast because it crushes your dreams of getting rich quick.
They actually got me into reading stats for anything.
You're tuned in to the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Led by Andrew Sather and Dave Ahern.
Step-by-step premium investing guidance for beginners.
Your path to financial freedom starts now.
Starts now.
All right, folks, welcome to Investing for Beginners podcast. Tonight we have episode 240, and tonight we thought we would talk about what not to buy the dip on in 2022. We thought we would go through a list of different sectors, sections, different kinds of ideas that maybe you might want to avoid buying the dip on because they may not give you the best returns over a longer period of time, because that's what we're all trying to do here. So without any further ado, I will go ahead and kind of start. So the first thing, I guess, section, if you will, that we wanted to talk about was expensive stocks. So this is something we do not recommend you buy the dip on in 2022. And Andrew, why would that be? Why would we want to avoid expensive stocks?
Well, because when you buy expensive stocks over the long term, your portfolio does not do well, especially when you have a time period like this where the market is struggling to find its footing and it's been going down for a while. Now, there's two ways you can think about whether a stock is cheap or expensive. You have what's called relative and absolute. Relative cheapness would be, there's several ways you could define it, but you could look at a stock and say, oh, it's at a 52-week low, so this means it's cheap. People will say that a lot. A 52-week low means this is the lowest point the stock has been in the last 52 weeks. The problem with that type of an idea when it comes to whether a stock is cheap or expensive is that's not how the market works over the long term, unfortunately. Sometimes it does work that way where you buy a stock at a 52-week low and it was a great stock and it was cheap and then you do well on it. But sometimes it doesn't. So you have to be really careful about that. And the reason is it kind of goes back to the basics a little bit where you invest in companies because you become part owner of these businesses. That's why you're in the stock market. These companies will produce cash flow. Some of that ends up coming back to the owners of the business in one form or the other, whether today or tomorrow. And so if you say, I want to pay $1 million for a company that I only expect to pay me $10 over the next 10 years, that's too expensive. Okay. I don't care if last year it was $10 million and now it's $1 million. That's expensive. So you take that same logic and you use it with the stock market, and that's where you get absolute valuation and absolute expensive or absolute cheap. So you really want to be careful that you're not finding yourself in the relative I think this is cheap because it's gone down a lot. You can get burned really, really badly when you do that.
Yes, you can. And the idea that I like to remember is, we talked about this a while back, and it's something that I know you've written about, is this idea of the price you pay matters. And when you buy a company, and I'm going to pick on Cisco here for a second. If you had bought Cisco at the height of the dot-com boom in 2000, you still haven't returned to that same level of value. And this is, what, 22 years later? And it still hasn't recovered from the drop that they experienced during that period. Microsoft kind of went through the same thing in 2000. It dropped, and it went 13, 15 years, something like that, before it started to improve again. And that kind of correlated with the new CEO coming in, kind of changing the business around. But if you had bought Microsoft in 2000, you would have had to wait 13 years to see a positive return from that investment. And it's not to say that you couldn't have had a good return if you had bought it in, let's say, 2005. But the point is that it was really expensive in 2000, and it dropped, and then it took a long time for it to come back to that same value. Even when it was back at the same price, it was still cheaper than it was in 2000 because of the value of the company. It's kind of like buying a Porsche in 2000 for $100,000. You drive it off the lot, and now it's only worth $50,000. And then over the period of the next 13 years, the value of the car declines because people aren't into Porsches or whatever. But then you spend all this money refurbishing it, and then 13, 15 years later, you can turn around and sell it for more because now it's a collector's item. So if you look at stocks the same kind of way, you have to think about what it is you're paying and what the price is right now. And we're not talking like absolute dollar amount, like $100 is more expensive than $90. It's more about the value that you're buying the company for. And so you want to stay away from companies that are really expensive still. Like Andrew was talking about earlier, there are companies that have come off of COVID that are down 60, 70, 80% from their highs, and they're still expensive. And they're still, the value that you would get for buying that company now is arguably too expensive. And so you can either wait, or you can just pass and try to find something else. So those are, I guess, some ideas that I had for expensive stocks. Do we want to move on to the next player, value traps? What are your thoughts on value traps?
So value traps is taking the opposite side of that, where these are actually absolutely cheap. Okay, so now we're kind of in the flip situation where it's like, instead of having to pay $1 million, maybe I'm paying $10 for this business that's giving me good cash flow every day. But the reason why it's trading at $10 is because it probably will go bankrupt tomorrow. Or it's just, like Braden has said, melting ice cube. Mm-hmm. You want to stay away from those type of businesses, because business made a certain amount of profit today. If they have something in their industry or in their business model that's fundamentally changed, and now every day is like a ticking time bomb, and they're shrinking instead of getting bigger, That's not a good value either, even though it might seem like a good value. Price to earnings is a ratio that's probably the easiest metric to start understanding absolute value, whether something's cheap or expensive. If you want to learn about it, you can go on our website. We talk about it. We've written about it. But you have to be careful with very low price to earnings and other kind of metrics like that, if it's not looking forward and if it's only looking backwards. So easy example would be the horse and buggy. They went through a time period where I'm sure being a horse and buggy maker was really, really profitable. And then the Model T came around. And so you got to bet in that time frame, they were trying to wring out as much money as they could from that business until it eventually failed. So you see that a lot actually in the stock market, and you want to be very careful. That's why, as much as I like to push people to look at the numbers, look at the business, use some cold, hard facts and numbers to determine value, you also want to notice if things have changed and see businesses where their future does not look as good for one reason or the other.
Budgeting was always a challenge for me. I struggled to find the best way to keep track of all of my money, not to mention all the time tracking down receipts, cataloging expenses, and trying to figure out what went wrong with my air quote system until Monarch Money. Monarch Money allowed me to easily see what is going on with my finances, helping me get a better handle on my spending, budgets, and more.
It's my go-to app every day, more so than my bank, because I can quickly see where I am with my budgets and spending, allowing me to invest more and spend time on the things that I want to do. It's my GPS for money. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/beginners. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, family, or financial advisor. Invite them to your account at no extra cost, and they'll get their own login info and a joint view of all of your finances. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. Change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications, set up automatic rules for transactions and notifications, and more. In fact, Monarch Money is one of the first to bring you direct Apple Card, Apple Cash, and savings syncing with the latest iOS 17.4 update. Now you can sync your wallet directly for seamless budgeting. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/beginners. That's monarchmoney.com/beginners for your extended 30-day free trial. Let's be honest here. Your sex life is important. It helps us feel more confident and boosts our happiness. But sometimes we struggle to perform. Our life gets in the way. This is where Hims can help. With their convenient and discreet online platform, you can get help for your erectile dysfunction from the comfort and privacy of your own home. No more waiting rooms, no more awkward conversations, just a simple, direct path to treatment that works around your life, not interrupts it. Invest in your health today. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance is needed. If ED is getting you down, it's time you join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/investing. That's hims.com/investing for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/investing. Hard mints are chewable, compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety and effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Yeah, absolutely. That avoiding value traps is, the falling knife. Avoiding these companies that are in decline can sometimes be very hard. And value investors, we've talked about before, a lot of them fall in different camps. And one of the camps is looking for very cheap stocks and trying to buy those because the idea is that you buy this cheap company that the market is ignoring or is pricing incorrectly, and that it revert to the mean. In other words, it'll go back to being where it should be because the value of the business is higher than what the stock market is valuing at. But sometimes it's cheap for a reason. You want to avoid it. GE is a good example of this. Even some of the companies recently that have gone bankrupt, like Radio Shack, avoiding companies like Radio Shack, Bed Bath & Beyond, even a week ago, people were saying that, hey, this may or may not make it or not. The company has been cheap for a reason because the business is struggling. Even though there's lots of funny stuff going on in the stock market regarding the company, but if you look at the basic value of the business, it's struggling. JCPenney, same kind of idea. If you look at the, it's very simple to sometimes just notice when you go to the mall and see different stores that you go into. If there's nobody in the store, that's not a good sign, right? And if you notice that in all the places that you go, that just nobody seems to shop at these stores, well, that's an indication that something's happened in the business and it's just not as appealing to consumers anymore. And I guarantee you, if you look at the financials of that particular company, you're going to see those results. Macy's has been struggling with the same kind of thing. Nordstrom has been struggling with the same kind of thing. And these companies are all cheap because the business is struggling. And so the market is expecting them not to do well. And so it makes them cheap. And you have to ask yourself, why would you want to buy a company like that that appears to be in secular decline for whatever reason? And a few years ago, Sears was one of those companies that was cheap. And it was cheap for a reason, because they were on the big struggle bus. And one of the next Warren Buffetts, Eddie Lambert, came in and was supposed to, you know, resuscitate the company. It didn't happen. And it ended up going bankrupt anyway. So sometimes you have to understand that it's cheap for a reason and avoid it. But it comes back to what Andrew was saying. You have to understand the fundamentals and you have to understand the business model. And, you know, a little insider tip, if you see sales declining for 10 years or more consecutively, you might want to step away. So it's just something to think about.
Groundbreaking tip. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, groundbreaking.
What's the best way to get started in the market? Download Andrew's ebook for free at stockmarketpdf.com.
All right, let's move on to the next one. This one will be fun. So we have crypto and NFTs. So Andrew, I'm going to tee that up, one up for you, and you can take a swing at that first.
Oh boy. Hopefully it's not like my golf swing.
Hopefully better.
I've learned enough about crypto to be dangerous, and I've dabbled enough to get a general sense for it. And I think there's a lot of opportunity in that space. I think the technology is truly revolutionary, and it appears that we're going to get the next Google, Facebook, whatever, to come from the crypto world. And there's just so many potential use cases in the future because of the blockchain. Now, that all said, we've said this before, it is a minefield. And not to like rub people's faces in the mud, but there's been lots of fraud and it hasn't stopped. And a lot of rug pooling, people just basically saying whatever they want and people putting money into it and having no recourse over what happens to their money, and then they lose it all. So you have to be careful. I think maybe it'd be helpful just to give a basics of most crypto projects have been working so people can identify it and maybe have a better understanding of it. What I mean is, we've talked before about dilution and buybacks. So this is a very common thing that stock market investors are aware of. It's basically when you dilute the shares of a company, it means you're giving ownership to more people, just like the way stock options work. So your slice of that pie of the pizza is your ownership of the business. The more people are given that slice of the pie, the smaller your slice gets. I like to buy stocks where that pie is increasing because the company's buying back shares, which means there's less people who own the stock. Okay, so the way that cryptos have been paying these crazy APRs, like I can think of one off the top of my head, still today, it's paying like a 33% APR. So they say, you put our money in our crypto ecosystem, you're going to get 33% interest on your money. The thing that people might not realize about that is the way they are paying for that APR is they're shrinking your slice of the pie. And if you understood kind of the way the stock market works, you can see it in parallel in crypto land. So that's one issue, is that the APR that makes it sound like you're getting a great deal is actually just them taking away your pizza and then giving it back to you in little pieces. And the second issue is just, in my mind, it's like there's no SEC regulation. There's no recourse, no accountability. It's like they can really say whatever they want and they post it on a white paper online and you just have to take their word for it in a lot of cases. So one day maybe it will be legitimate, but in the meantime, you're looking at the crypto and thinking it's cheap because it's 95% down. Think of what we said earlier with the expensive stocks. Again, it's absolute terms. And a lot of these, the few that I've looked at, are still trading at like 1,000 times sales, something ridiculous like that, right? Mm-hmm. So even if the financials that they're saying are in fact true, it's still crazy expensive even after drawing down 80%. So be very, very careful. And I would not put, there's just so much trouble you can get into in general in that space. And so I would be very, very leery and certainly not put a vast majority of your wealth into it.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I'd pay for vacations with whatever was in my wallet, but I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? lounge access. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Do you want to know what it's like to hang out with MS-13 in El Salvador? How the Russian mafia fought battles all over Brooklyn in the 1990s.
Or what about that time I got lost in the Burmese jungle hunting the world's biggest meth lab? Or why the Japanese Yakuza have all those crazy dragon tattoos? I'm Sean Williams.
And I'm Danny Golds. And we're the host of the Underworld Podcast. We're journalists that have traveled all over, reporting on dangerous people and places. And every week, we'll be bringing you a new story about organized crime from all over the world.
We know this stuff because we've been there. We've seen it. And we've got the near misses and embarrassing tales to go with it. We'll mix in reporting with our own experiences in the field, and we'll throw in some bad jokes while we're at it.
The Underworld Podcast explores the criminal underworlds that affect all of our lives, whether we know it or not. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
No, not at all. Again, like Andrew, I've learned enough about it to be dangerous and probably even more dangerous than Andrew. So the little that I've learned about it has really focused around Web3 and payments and some of those ideas. And even the people that are writing about it and that are far more learned about it than I am think that the space is in very early innings. And there's still a lot to play out about where the crypto is really going to fit in. Whether it's, there's still lots of questions about it, whether it's going to be a actual currency or whether it's going to be a store of wealth or whether it's correlated to the markets or not. There's lots of uncertainty. And like Andrew said, there's no regulation at this point. I know that they're working on trying to get some, and I think that would probably be beneficial for everybody concerned. But I think right now there's so much money going into it and everybody's excited about the possibilities of it. But the actual use cases are still yet to be determined and are still being worked out. There's a lot of smart people working in that space for sure. But as a general rule, having that being a very large part of your portfolio is in essence gambling at this point, because there is no sure thing. There is no, you know, I know that if I buy, you know, crypto A, this is going to be the next Google. Or if I buy crypto B, this is going to be the next Facebook or Microsoft or whatever, you know, insert company name. We're too early innings in this to really understand where it's ultimately going to go. Is it going to have an impact? Probably, but when is that going to happen? Is it going to happen next year or is it going to happen 17 years from now? We don't really know and nobody knows. And so I would encourage anybody, like Andrew was saying, even though there's been a crypto winter recently and there's been a few things that have gone bankrupt and there's been a lot of stuff down a lot from their heights, it's still super expensive and it's very speculative. Even again, some of the people that I'm reading that are trying to teach me these ideas about crypto are saying it's early innings and it's very speculative at this point to be investing a large portions of your portfolio into crypto at this point. It can be dangerous because you don't know what you're getting into and it can turn on a dime very quickly, much quicker than companies can. And that's another thing that's kind of scary about it is, you know, the difference between a Ponzi and, you know, who's a winner and a loser in a Ponzi is, you know, if you're the one last one holding, you're the loser. So it's really hard to know in the crypto space what's a Ponzi and what's not. And for me, it falls into the too hard pile. Interesting to learn. And I'm trying to, you know, to learn a little bit about it. But as far as investing in it, it's just not my thing. There's far other greater things that I don't understand that I can lose money on as well. So I choose other things. Yeah, just be careful if you're going to dabble in this. If you put a small portion of your portfolio in it, that's your choice. But if you're putting 50, 60%, I would caution you to rethink that idea.
That's very well said. So the last item on our list here, IPOs and SPACs. Mm-hmm. So please enlighten us.
Okay, IPOs and SPACs. So this is a area that was one of the hottest things during the, I guess, the COVID period, if you will. So right after the market crashed in March of 2020 and it started to rebound, everything started going up and to the right, and it just seemed like nobody could do anything wrong. And that was kind of the beginnings of the height of IPOs and SPACs. And really what those means, IPOs are basically initial public offerings of a company. So when a company like DoorDash goes from being a private company to a public company that we can all go buy, that's what happens. There's a whole process that they go through to become a public company, and they sell their shares on the market, and now we can become part owners of DoorDash, for example. And so generally what happened during that period with IPOs in particular is they all went crazy. And so a lot of these companies, when they would initially offer their shares, would offer them at, let's say, I'll just pick on DoorDash for a second. I think they were initially offering it around 30 or 40 bucks a share. And it ended the first day at like around 220. So it's just nuts, crazy nuts numbers. Rivian, the electric truck company that Amazon is a part owner of, have went through the same thing. When it went public the first day, I think it ended up a little over 100 billion in market cap, which is bigger than Toyota, Ford, and GM put together. And this is a company that hadn't produced a vehicle at that point. So to say that it was speculative, it was an insult to the word speculative. And it has since fallen quite a lot from those highs. And if you look at studies, by and large, most IPOs don't do well from the highs of their initial public offering. They can go on to become great companies, you know, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, they've all done it. But sometimes buying when it first comes public is maybe not the best idea. Now, you flip that to SPACs, and SPACs are, I'm going to blank on what the acronym stands for, but in essence, you may know. Do you know?
Special Purpose Acquisition Company.
There you go. Good job. Excellent. Wow, way better than me.
Do I win extra credit today?
You do. You get an ice cream cone. So we'll go to that favorite place down the street from where you live that has such good ice cream. We can take Jesse and he can get his little dog ice cream.
Perfect.
Pretty awesome stuff.
I think I'm wearing headphones because I didn't want him to hear that. I don't want to get his headphones. Yeah.
So SPACs were another form of companies being able to go public, and they avoid a lot of the entanglements and a lot of the red tape that using an investment bank uses to go public. And they generally IPO at around $10 a share, I believe it is. So they're generally really, really cheap. And it's an easy, quick way for companies to generate liquidity for their businesses by selling their shares on the market very quickly. And these were the hottest things in the market. You could not go on financial Twitter and not see a gazillion posts about this SPAC and that SPAC and this SPAC and that SPAC. Everybody trying to get in on the craze. And you could see the general tenor of the enthusiasm or the, I guess, you know, freak out of people just going nuts to buy these things. And some of these things would skyrocket in value on day one. Virgin Galactic was one in particular that I remember there was just so much euphoria about it. It was nuts. I think it went from $10 a share to like $100 a share in a day or something just obscene. And the company is, you know, massively unprofitable, and it has since fallen to earth. All of these companies have fallen. Most of them have fallen back to earth quite hard. Chamath, who is one of the more famous investors in SPACs, and he was one of the big ringleaders, again, the next Warren Buffett, was going to be the king of SPACs. And I read the other day that all the companies that he took public, which is quite a few, I want to say 15 or 16 companies during that period he took public, those companies are now 84% down from their highs when they went public, and they're all trading below, every one of the companies are trading below their initial offering price. And so they've lost, you know, huge, huge amounts of money. And the reason why it is and was so a little bit gross is that people like Chamath were making billions on retail investors because people were piling into these things. People were going on social media and pumping them and pushing them. And then they would be the first people to cash out and get out of the businesses and make hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars on these investments. Meanwhile, us retail investors would be left holding the bag and we would lose our investment or all of it. Avoiding these things was and still continues to be something you definitely want to do.
I have nothing else to add.
Sorry, I took too much.
Oh, it's all really good advice. I mean,
all right. Well, after I get off my soapbox about IPOs and SPACs, we will go ahead and wrap up our conversation for today. Thanks everybody for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed our discussion. If there's anything in here that we talked about that you're a little bit unsure of or not quite up to snuff on some of the terms that we were using, please check out our website, einvestingforbeginners.com. We have a great search bar at the top, and we have over 1,000 articles on the website to help you learn more about investing, the stock market, and everything that goes on that we were talking about today. So it's a great resource to help you learn and get a little bit better educated on the things that we were talking about today. So without any further ado, we'll go ahead and sign us off. You guys go out there and invest with a margin of safety. Emphasis on the safety. Have a great week. We'll talk to y'all next week.
We hope you enjoyed this content. 7 Steps to Understanding the Stock Market shows you precisely how to break down the numbers in an engaging and readable way with real-life examples. Get access today at stockmarketpdf.com. Until next time, have a prosperous day.
The information contained is for general information and educational purposes only. It is not intended for a substitute for legal, commercial, and/or financial advice from a licensed professional. Review our full disclaimer at einvestingforbeginners.com.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.